There was a brotherhood of the seamen, unspoken. One where they knew every corner of the coast, where pirates might be found, where brigands would lurk, where the best profits would be made. And they knew where the navigation was trickiest, where timing of currents was important, and above all, they knew the annual rhythm of the winds. And sometime in the first millennium B.C., Indian skippers mastered the secrets of the Indian Ocean's monsoon winds. This rhythm, which unfolded like clockwork year after year, year in, year out, opened a brand new world. During the summer months, from June to September, the monsoons blow across the Indian Ocean from the southwest. This means that you can sail in front of the wind from Africa to India, or from Arabia directly to India without coasting along the shore or going into the Persian Gulf. And then, wonderful winds that they are, in November, they reverse. And they blow from the northeast, the opposite direction. So you can sail back. Thus, you had a cycle, which enabled you to pass from Arabia or the Red Sea to India and back, or from the East African coast to India and back, in the course of 12 months. From India, too, the monsoon cycles also operated. You could ride the monsoon, the southwest monsoon, across the Bay of Bengal, direct to Southeast Asia. Now, Southeast Asia was another crucible. I use the word crucible a lot in this class. It's a very good word, because it implies a sort of frothing of ideas and innovation and trade. And it was in Southeast Asia that Indian merchants came in touch with Chinese traders, and an entirely different commercial world, which we'll visit in later lectures. Now, there's something about this, as a seaman, psychologically rather profound. Until the discovery of the monsoon cycles, almost all voyaging in the Indian Ocean was done along the coasts, and the same undoubtedly applied in the Bay of Bengal. But now, for the first time, ships ventured offshore, out of sight of land. Now, they knew the coasts intimately. They knew that at the other side of the Indian Ocean, there was a shore, a familiar shore. But at some point, either Arabian or Indian skippers jumped over a fairly large psychological boundary. Instead of coasting round to India or back, they simply sailed offshore, straight across. Not a particularly hazardous voyage, except when the winds blow strong, although it can be boisterous. But something where you're out of touch with the world, with the familiar reality of the shore. And once they'd done it, there was no going back. It's just like cruising in a small boat today. The toughest open water voyage you make is the first one. Because psychologically, once you've got comfortable being out of sight of land, and you know you will reach the other side safely, you're fine. And that's what happened. Now, at first, the Arabians and the Indians kept their navigational secret to themselves. And then, by chance, an Indian ship was wrecked in the Red Sea. Its skipper was rescued and brought to Alexandria in Egypt. And he talked about the Indian Ocean, or the Erythraean Sea, the Red Sea, as the Indians and the Arabians called it. And somewhere about 115 BC, just as the Mauryan Empire was stretching its legs, and just as it went into decline, but the trade was continuing, the first Greek skippers, the first Egyptian skippers, not just local Arabians and Indians, used the monsoon winds to cross to India.